Hey, Candace, I'm gonna read a little something. You may want to talk briefly with it. I don't know if to do this, but I wanted to read a passage to you because I read this. And, you know, you kind of go away, you think, okay, that's good, but then you keep thinking about it. You keep thinking about it. Because it just sounded so gripping, I guess is what you would say. Everybody knows who Smith Wigglesworth work was. Everybody's familiar with them. But this is something about Smith Wigglesworth. I'll just read it. See how it goes. It says, when in New Zealand in 1922, a young preacher remarked to Wigglesworth, one is tempted to envy you for the great success you have had. He replied, young man, it is the other way around. I feel like envying you. I have had three visions, three only. The first two already have come to pass, but the third is yet to be fulfilled. I will most likely pass on to my reward, but you are a young man and you will most likely be in what I saw. Paused and burst out, oh, it was amazing. Amazing. What was amazing? The young man asked. Oh, said Wigglesworth, I cannot tell God's secrets, but you will remember what I saw. This revival we have had, that is the Pentecostal revival that they had back then, is nothing to what God is yet going to do.
Amen.
In recounting this, the young preacher went on to say, this was clearly prophetic and spoken with much power. It was evident that the evangelist had a special vision granted to him of the coming outpouring of the Spirit in an unprecedented effusion in the days just before our Lord comes to snatch away the church. The story often has been told of Wigglesworth's prophecy over the late David Du Plessis. He was conducting a crusade at David's church in South Africa. Early one morning, he walked into David's office and without greeting, declared to him that in the last day, by the way, it said, I read it in another account of this, it said he took him, these are friends, okay, but he took him by the shoulders and pushed him up against the wall. Alright? Mm-hmm. And like, boom! And he's a friend now, okay, this is Wigglesworth way, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He pushed him up against the wall, got him right in his face and said these words, okay?
Wow. So, won't forget it.
It's important.
I guess it's important. Huh?
Yeah.
I can marry. I guess it's important. Okay.
Want him to hear it and get it. Amen.
But it says that declared to him that in the last days before Jesus returned, there would be a move of the Holy Spirit surpassing all previous moves.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
This is surpassing the Great Awakening now.
Whoa.
In the 19th century.
Yeah.
This is the early 20th century. Talking about this. It said, in the last days before Jesus returned, there would be a move of the Holy Spirit surpassing all previous moves. It would overrun all boundaries, national and denominational. David Du Plessis, he declared, would be a principal instrument in God's hand to bring this to pass. In 1942, Wigglesworth talked to me about this prophecy, saying that he would not live to see this glorious revival. He died in 1947, the year that David Du Plessis arrived from South Africa at the World Pentecostal Conference in Zurich, Switzerland. From that point, his ministry and influence spread. Du Plessis carried the full message of Pentecost in the areas no one thought it would ever go and prepared the way for the charismatic revival, which developed in an astonishing way during the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. 1960s, 1970, we all know about that. Mm-hmm. He became known as Mr. Pentecost and met with heads of otherwise liberal denominations and with the Pope in Rome. Mm-hmm. So he was meeting with the heads of Catholics, Lutherans, Episcopals, all these others. It says, a week before his death, Wigglesworth prophesied again during a week-long crusade. This time he foretold a second move of the Spirit. The first move would bring the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit, and the second would bring a revival of emphasis on the Word of God. He said, when these two moves of the Spirit combine, we shall see the greatest move the Church of Jesus Christ has ever seen. Already there are signs that this is beginning to develop. Well, we've seen reversal happen. Mm-hmm. We've seen the move, the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We've seen that, right? Mm-hmm. What about that other one?
The Word.
You remember the second one? The second one was... The second would bring a revival of emphasis on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that yet, have we?
That's coming. Repeat that again. The second one, what?
It's a revival of emphasis on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What have we been talking about so much? What have I been talking about so much?
The Word.
What is
the Word?
What has Thurston been talking about?
The Word.
In the Word. Right? Uh-huh. You are here because you're hungry for the Word. Uh-huh. You're hungry for the Word.
Yep.
But you realize you're only a few. But the day's coming when there's going to be a lot of people
massive.
That get interested in
Amen.
The Word of God. Word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Come.
Okay. You know, it's so true, right? Because that's the way in the upper room, it was only 120 that gathered. Mm-hmm. But then, whoa, went out 3,000 and then 5,000. It just mm-hmm. kept growing.
Yep.
So that's good, Ray. I like that. Let's just stand in honor of what he read. Just in faith. We don't have to see it with our natural eyes. We see it with our spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. And our hearts did burn when you read.
That's right.
Dear Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. We lift our hands to you as
surrender.
Yes. Lord, I thank you, God, for the move of the Spirit. I thank you, God, that you are welcomed into this house this evening.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Lord.
Glory to your name. Glory to be praised. Hallelujah. Before I spoke your word, you were singing over me, and you have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me.
Yes.
And you have been so kind to me.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, it chases me down, fights. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And when I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. And you have been so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Sit on it and you can ponder that one for a while. Mm-hmm. And we talked about I talked about how the definition of good is God.
Yes.
Whatever God does is good. All right? He doesn't do anything bad to people. Mm-hmm. He does good. God is good. So he says, Jesus told him, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. He makes a little list, mm-hmm. okay, of the commandments. And so the young man said to him, probably still in his kneeling position, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if you working real hard all your life? Mm-hmm. One more thing. That's mm-hmm. all you lack. You'll be there. That would be wonderful. He said, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Mm-hmm. Money that you give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.
Yeah.
Only thing you lack. Mm-hmm. One thing that you lack. But the young man, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was rich. Mm-hmm. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. They were exceedingly astonished. If they were amazed before, after he says this, now they're really astonished. And they said to Jesus, then who can be saved? A rich person can't be saved. Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Mm-hmm. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. Wow. This is a powerful passage.
It is.
I've talked about this before, and I've talked about how if you were rich, then that was good. Mm-hmm. As far as back then, if you were rich, that meant two things. Number one, God must have blessed you. You see, to the Jews, financial prosperity was a blessing from God.
Still is.
Yeah.
Big
right.
time.
Right. But at that time, you know, they looked at the law, they looked at the law of Moses, and he says, if you do this, I will bless you. I will, you know, you have all these financial blessings, you know, your crops will make, your, you know, this sort of thing. And mm-hmm. that's what God promised. And so they took that and said, okay, well, if you're rich, then God must be happy with you. You must be righteous. God must be pleased with you. That's what, that was their thinking. That was their logical yeah. thinking, okay? Mm-hmm. And the second, of course, was only a rich person had the time to study the law and to know what to do to please God. Mm-hmm. That was their way of thinking. Only a rich person could not have to work so much, and he could spend time studying the law and giving it all down and doing everything he said. Because at that time, it wasn't just the five books of Moses. The law was a big, big thing that they had added to. Traditions of men. Remember he talked about traditions of men?
Yeah.
They would go and they would interpret the law and they would write their, you know, interpretations down. They had big, huge volumes of this interpretation. There was no way you could know all that unless you were rich, you know, and spent time just studying all this stuff. Uh-huh. And so they went, if a rich man can't get to heaven, what what chance do we have, you know? What chance to us as poor fishermen or poor farmers or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, we can't read all those laws and please God. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jesus brings something new to them, right? Mm-hmm. He says it's not about the law, it's about faith. It's about faith. And that's what he called that young man to do. He says, you lack one thing. Faith in God. Mm-hmm. If you have faith in God, give it all up.
Yeah.
And come and follow me. In faith, you have to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. In faith, you have to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Good.
You know, we live by faith. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we live by faith. Mm-hmm. We don't live by understanding or knowledge. We live by faith in God.
Yeah.
Not faith in our faith, not faith in our knowledge, not faith in our wisdom. We live by faith in God because He's always going to ask us to do things that are beyond our knowledge, beyond our understanding, right? Beyond our wisdom. He's going to ask us to reach out, take a risk. In fact, we're going to even question whether this is God telling us to do it. Isn't that right? And sometimes we just have to say, oh God, I'm trusting this is you. If it's not you, help me out, Lord. But I think you're telling me to do this. It's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. It's a strange thing. It's a scary thing. But you're leading me to do it. I believe that you're leading me to do it. And I trust God that if I'm hearing wrong, you're not going to let me fall too bad. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a one guy put it this way. He says, You're going along, and you run into a brick wall. You run into an obstacle in your life. You run into something that's hard, that's resisting you. Whatever it is, whether it's an illness or a relationship problem, a family problem, money problem, whatever it is, it's a brick wall. You get nowhere, right? Everything you've done. So you say, okay, Lord, I'm not a quitter. All right? I'm going to back up. I'm going to get a good running start. And I'm going to go full speed ahead, and I'm going to hit this brick wall full speed. Because I believe that's what you want me to do. But if it isn't, if I'm missing it, Lord, if I'm missing it, don't let it hurt too bad. Sometimes you have to just say that, you know, maybe not those words, you know, but sometimes you just have to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. Because what I'm hearing you tell me to do is beyond my understanding. It's beyond my wisdom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to pop it. I'm going to keep standing where I'm standing. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to step out and do something I haven't done before. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak to someone that's never responded before. I'm going to speak to someone I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lay hands on someone to heal them. They got a disease. I don't get me. But I'm going to do that hard thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep striving. Whatever it is, I'm going to keep at it. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that's what you want me to do. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense, but I believe that's what you want me to do.
Yeah.
And this is what this young man was faced with. Yeah. Jesus told him, you know what? I loved him. He looked at him and loved him.
Yeah.
Good. One thing you lack, you're going to get eternal life. I can promise you eternal life if you do this one thing. Mm-hmm. Sell all you got, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. That was beyond his understanding. That was beyond his wisdom. So he had a chance to step out and do that hard thing. Do that hard thing. But he wasn't able to do it. He was too attached to his company. was too attached to the fame, the respect of all the people around him. You sell everything you got in that culture, you lose a lot of respect, a lot of respectability, a lot of fame, whatever. And you just throw yourself on following Jesus around the dusty back roads of Judea. Right? Didn't know where your next meal was going to come from. Didn't know where you're going to sleep that night. That's a big change. That's a big change, isn't it? That's a big change.
Yeah.
Peter, he heard all that promise that was made to the young man. Mm-hmm. He says, "And you will have treasure in heaven."
Yeah.
"And come and follow me." And Peter's going, "He didn't make that promise to me. What's this treasure in heaven? I didn't get that promise when I signed on." Right?
Yeah.
He just said, "Follow me." He didn't, you know, he was going to make me fishers of men, but I didn't hear anything about a treasure in heaven. And Peter said, "Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What are we going to get? What you promised him, what are we going to get?" So Jesus was quick to tell Peter, "You're going to get a lot, buddy.
Yes.
You're going to get a lot.
Here, now.
You do what you do, and you'll be taken care of. You'll get your treasures." Mm-hmm. But look at where what he said his treasures were. Was it money? What did he say? "No one who has left house, or brothers, or sisters, or mothers, or fathers, or children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel." No one, not just you, Peter, but also Candace, also Mary, right? "Who will not receive 100-fold, 100 times as many now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands." That's a big family. "And in the age to come, eternal life." Wow. Treasures in heaven. Eternal life. You got it. Praise the Lord, we got it. Amen. That's what we got to tell everyone else. That's what we got to get out the word. Get out the word and give them some understanding.
Yeah.
That the way of going with Jesus is so much better. Get them into the word. May they have understanding. Right? May they have understanding of the word. When Jesus says this passage, disciples could understand. And to give them understanding. The world doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. You need to help them get understanding. Then, that could interest the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Giving us understanding. And we thank you that this is a group who seeks the word, who seeks the truth through your word, and who seeks the Holy Spirit, Father. We want to add to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the move of the Holy Spirit, a move toward the word of God, Father. We want to have usher in a church that's mature and ready for the coming of Messiah. We thank you, Father, for loving us in all things. Bless this food and bless our day. May everything be done to your glory.
Amen.